I'm Mike Breen, Public Awareness Officer for the American Mathematical Society, and I'm talking with Andrea Bertozzi, who is a professor of mathematics and director of applied mathematics at UCLA, the University of California at Los Angeles, and we're talking about her work modeling criminal activity. So Andrea, can you tell us about that work and the math involved?
Sure, Mike. It's been a very interesting project. We're collaborating directly with the Los Angeles Police Department and colleagues in anthropology and criminology. So Jeff Brantingham is our anthropology collaborator, and George Tita at UC Irvine is our criminology collaborator. The project has involved a number of different aspects of crime in Los Angeles and crime in general. So we've looked at things like residential burglary, we've looked at gang crimes, we've looked at both spatial distribution and also temporal distribution of crime, we've looked at the effect of social networks, so we've looked at quite a lot of different aspects.
You mentioned the temporal distribution. I remember seeing a graph at one of your talks about how things drop off.
Sure. So this has been an important part of our work, looking at basically at self-excitation in criminal activity. So we are currently using some models that come from the earthquake literature from seismology, where you have a major earthquake and then aftershocks, and you look at the statistical distribution of the pattern of aftershocks. Well, you can actually apply this idea to criminal activity as well. The patterns may be a little bit different, but the mathematical modeling is somewhat similar. So we're using these ideas to look at, you know, once a crime occurs, where are future crimes most likely to occur? And this idea is the basis for some software that we're currently rolling out with LAPD as part of a predictive policing experiment.
Crime rates in general have fallen, so it's hard to tease out just exactly how much the new techniques, you know, have been effective themselves. Is there a way of knowing how effective this new approach is?
Actually, we're in the middle of a double-blind study. We're comparing the current LAPD best practices against our algorithm. We have some preliminary data that looks quite promising, but we are in the middle of a big study right now. So I can't tell you exactly how it's going to turn out. But it's very exciting to be working directly in the field like this. And I should also add that this work is led by my colleague, Jeff Brantingham. He's really the one who is leading this effort with LAPD.
Are there any other people you'd like to mention?
There are two who've been postdocs with us in the program that I would really like to mention. One is George Moeller, who is the lead author on our work on the self-exciting point process models. And it's those ideas that have led to our current predictive policing experiment. And the other one is Martin Short, who is lead author on the work on crime hotspots. And he's also been very involved in the self-exciting point process modeling and really taking a leadership role with a lot of our students in the current group.
Partial differential equations, I guess, are pretty important for this.
So let me start by saying that the PDE, that's the abbreviation for partial differential equations. The PDE models are not currently used in our field study, but they are part of our general bag of methods that we use to look at crime patterns. So we've been using PDE models to look at probability distributions of where criminals and criminal activity might occur and how those change over time. We've also used models like that for things like gang turf and looking at how gang members interact with each other. We have a recent paper that's just come out in print that takes some models actually from ecology. So we took some ideas from the ecology literature looking at coyote territories in Yellowstone and applying that to gang territories here in Los Angeles. Although LA has quite a lot more gangs than one typically finds coyote packs in Yellowstone. So there are some similarities, and there are also some differences in that problem.
So is this like the insect swarm work that you used also?
Oh, it's a little different because the social interactions are quite different. You know, so for example, when you look at gang activity, one of the major features there is the fact that you have rivalries. So you look at this rivalry network. And so for example, in the Hollenbeck Division of LAPD, you have on the order of 30 different gangs and a very complex rivalry network between the different gangs in that area. So that's an issue that comes up much less in a lot of these ecological studies, although it is a bit of an issue looking at other territorial type behavior. However, in the case of the street gangs, you have a very complex social network that also underlies these patterns of activity. So, for example, you may have two gangs that are relatively close to each other, but they're not actively rivals, whereas another pair of gangs might be rivals, and that greatly affects the kinds of activity that you see in that area.
That's Andrea Bertozzi from UCLA, and that's the end of part one of the interview. In part two, she'll talk about her work with crime hotspots and trying to tell the difference between the two types.